I started looking into the whole history of archaeology to see if there was actually any evidence to support the idea of extreme human antiquity. And when I looked in the current textbooks, I didn't see any such evidence. I saw only the discoveries that support the current ideas that humans like us first came into existence about 100,000 years ago. The first civilizations arose about 10,000 years ago. The first use of symbolic art arose maybe 50,000 years ago. All the evidence that was in these textbooks supported those ideas, but I decided to look beyond the textbooks. I decided to look at the original scientific reports in many, many different languages. Because of my upbringing, I have a reading knowledge of most of the European languages. So I began looking into the original scientific publications. And when I did that, I was really amazed to find there were hundreds of discoveries of human bones, human artifacts, human footprints going back many, many millions of years, evidence that just totally contradicted anything that I was learning from my textbooks in high school and university. So that's how I got into it, George.
Michael, tell us about, you know, I'll jump around a little bit as we look at some of these case studies, but tell us about those little metal balls, where they were discovered, how old you think they may be.
Well, I think you're talking there about the oldest objects I found in my research. These are round spherical objects that were found by miners in South Africa near a place called Ottosdal in the Western Transvaal region. I call them metallic because they're made of hematite, which is a naturally occurring type of iron. It's also considered a semi-precious stone. And the most interesting thing about these objects is the parallel grooves that go around the center of each of these spherical hematite objects. Some of them have two grooves, some have three, some have just one. They're really amazing. And yeah, they were what's really fascinating about them is they're found solidly embedded in mineral deposits over 2 billion, that's 2 billion with a B, not an M, 2 billion years old. And these objects were given to an independent company of metallurgists to examine, and they said they could not explain how they could have formed naturally in the layers of the earth, which means they had to have been made by someone with human-like intelligence long, long, long ago.
I mean, there's no way that they could have been made, let's say, 3,000 years ago and dumped down there. They couldn't get into the mineral, right?
Here's something. Once I went to South Africa, and I went to Johannesburg, and I visited the chief mining engineer from the mine from which these objects come, and he showed me a solid block of stone that had these objects embedded in it. It's not that they're lying loose. They're solidly embedded in rock. And I could see some of them were partially emerging from the surface of the stone. And I could see the grooves ran around the surface that was protruding back into the solid rock. So, no, these things are not, you know, just some object that might have been made quite recently and then just fell somewhere into the mine. No, they're solidly embedded in the layers of rock there.
Okay, if they were made 2 billion years ago, how'd they get down there?
Well, here's what I believe happened. Originally, they were on some land surface, and then they became covered. And then over many, many millions of years, there have been huge earth movements. There's been volcanic deposits. Mm-hmm. There's been, just like if you go to the Grand Canyon, you can look down. The Grand Canyon's over a mile deep, and you can see the layers of sedimentary deposits that have been laid down over those many, many millions and actually almost the Grand Canyon goes back almost a billion years, all the different layers there. So what happens, you know, over long, long periods of time on this Earth is that there's a process of sedimentation, of deposition, where layer upon layer upon layer of sand and rock and stone and lava are laid down. And over the course of vast periods of time, it accumulates to massive depths. And then sometimes it's exposed. Sometimes mines are dug into it, or sometimes rivers cut down through it, and we get to see what's down there. So that's how I believe those objects got in the position we find them now.
What do you think they were used for?
Well, that's a fascinating question. I just speculate they might have been game pieces. That's what I think. But other people have other ideas. Some people think they were some kind of weapon, you know, that they were, because, you know, you can find
little cannonballs or something.
Cannonballs, yeah. That's what they say, you know, with the grooves that were meant to help control the spin on them. Other people have written to me and suggested maybe it was some kind of maybe originally they were radioactive. Maybe it was some kind of radioactive waste disposal system or something. I've heard a lot of different suggestions about what they might be. My own idea is they look to me like some kind of game pieces. Maybe it's because I'm an Italian family, and I used to see my grandfather play bocce ball.
It's something like that, or they went golfing with steel balls at the time.
Yeah,
huh? Didn't go very far. Lex has a link on our Twitter feed of these pictures of these spheres. They are fascinating, Michael, and truly bizarre. Truly bizarre. What about the story of the dinosaur print in clay with a human footprint nearby?
Well, there's some cases like that. There's one case, there are actually a few cases like that. A very famous one is the Paluxy River case from a place near Glen Rose, Texas. And there, during the 1950s and 1960s, some Christian creationist researchers reported that they had discovered human footprints next to dinosaur footprints. One of them was Dr. Henry Morris. But what happened was is that after some time of claiming that these were human footprints next to the dinosaur footprints, this Dr. Henry Morris Jr. changed his mind, and he wrote a letter to Nature, which is the most influential scientific journal in the world, retracting his claims. He said, originally I thought they were human footprints, but now, he said, I could see they were actually dinosaur footprints that had been eroded so that they looked like human footprints. So because of that, I didn't include them in my book, Forbidden Archaeology, but later, there were some interesting developments. A lot of times, archaeology students write to me. You know, archaeology students from universities, they encounter my book, Forbidden Archaeology, in one way or another. You know, they're reading things in my books that are completely different from what they're being taught by their teachers, and they become a little bit curious about it. So sometimes they write to me. So there was an archaeology student from Texas who wrote to me and said, I'd like to help with the kind of research you're doing. So I said to this student, I'd like you to go to that Paluxy River site. And as an archaeologist, I'd like you to look at those footprints up there and tell me what you think about them. So she went there, and she actually participated in some new excavations where they uncovered more dinosaur tracks and what looked like human tracks next to them. And she concluded that they looked human. They appeared to be human, and she sent me pictures, and she got reports from other scientists who were present and looking at them. And on that basis, I'm prepared to reconsider and say, yeah, it does appear possible that we've got human footprints next to dinosaur footprints at this Paluxy River site.